Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
What qualities make for a successful CISO? As the CISO for AWS, my guest today has a great perspective on this question. I'm Clark Rogers, Director of Enterprise Strategy at AWS, and your guide for a series of conversations with AWS security leaders here on Executive Insights. We're happy to welcome Chris Betts, CISO of AWS, to the show. Join us as he shares his thoughts on everything from establishing a culture of security, to hiring for diversity, to mentoring the next generation of great security leaders. Please enjoy. So I know you quite well, but would love to get a little bit more about your background for the audience.
As you said, we've known each other for a while. That's one of the things I love about the security community is just how small it is. At a certain point, you end up interacting with people you've seen throughout the world. My background, it started in the Air Force. Went into the federal government, spent more years working cybersecurity there. I've had a chance to do security at companies like CBS, a media company, a ton of time at places like Apple and Microsoft, and most recently at Capital One. And so it's just been interesting seeing kind of a diversity of roles. And again, like you say, seeing the same faces over and over again.
What brought you to AWS from Capital One? You know, with your vast experience that you had as an executive, you could have gone anywhere. What brought you to AWS?
One of the things, as I spent a number of years there, that I kept on realizing was how much our work relied on the security of AWS. As you know, Capital One is all in the cloud and close their data centers. And so that journey at Capital One, the security work at Capital One with AWS, really led me to appreciate how incredibly important the technology that we bring is to that trust, to that security of so many businesses. And so frankly, given the opportunity to move from relying and trusting AWS to be able to be part of that system that so many companies, so many people around the world trust to be secure, to do security well, man, that's just incredibly exciting. And so I appreciate the way you phrased that question. Hey, I could go anywhere. I think of it the other way around. This is one of those jobs that is absolute pinnacle of a security career. The ability to be part of the security team at AWS.
So now that you've been here a while, what are some of your observations that may not have been as clear as a customer? And now, you know, since you're inside the wall and you're responsible for the security at this point, you know, what has changed for you? What have you learned as being an employee now?
It's one thing to hear the conversations. You know, I've heard a number of times the story about how security is job zero. I've heard conversations about the weekly security meeting, how every week the CEO of AWS sits down with all of the leaders in AWS and they talk through some of the major security things that we need to be focusing on, areas that we need to get better. It's one thing to hear about those. It is another thing to live it, to have those conversations, to be challenged by my business partners, my technology partners, about are we moving fast enough? Are we raising the bar enough? Are we staying ahead of the threats? Where are we going to see attackers? And that's just that's a fun experience and somewhat unique.
And then, of course, you're absorbing the security culture. You know, you talked about the mechanism of the CEO CISO meeting, but it just permeates everywhere.
It does. I'm in security, so every conversation I have is going to be have that to some degree. But it's amazing just to be in meetings that are even not on security topics. You know, as a senior leader, one of the things I do appreciate about AWS is that they involve security in non-security specific meetings. And I get to be part of those conversations and to have other people bring up, ask about security, think about how do we do that better. Just like you said, that culture that is everywhere really, really matters.
In your previous role as CISO at Capital One, I'm going to imagine you didn't have as much of a customer-facing aspect to it as you do as the AWS CISO. So as the AWS CISO, when you're going to meet with customers now and you're asking you are answering their security questions, how has that changed things? The ability to say, hey, I was in your shoes not too long ago, right? And this is how I thought about it. And now that I'm here, this is
you know, this is the answer to your question, that sort of thing.
For the past decade, I've been working in security roles mm-hmm. in companies that are significant customers of AWS. And so, yeah, I've been there alongside AWS as we've gone on our security journey.
Sure.
As we've gone on our technology journey. And so recently being a customer lets me go and have that conversation in a very different way. Because I understand those conversations and the questions and the challenges they have. One of the things that I appreciate the most about those conversations as well is the ability to stay well grounded mm-hmm. in what our customers are seeing, how they're feeling, what's going on in the world, and really the ability to toss ideas back and forth. Hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's how I'm solving that problem. Oh, that's what you're seeing. That's how you're solving that problem. That ability for us to mutually continue to raise the bar within AWS, but within our customers as well, is incredibly powerful.
And you're in the position that you can earn more trust by saying, this is how I solved that problem in the previous role, which is great.
I've got the scar tissue.
Exactly. So let's shift gears a little bit to sort of running a security program, right? What are some key indicators or measurements that you use to demonstrate the effectiveness of your security program? And this could be here at AWS or in past lives.
It's a really good question. And often when I'm asked that question, people are expecting me to jump to metrics or measurements and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And there's certainly a slew of metrics and measurements that we can use to help describe what's going on in security. But one of the things that I think is truly a leading indicator is the degree to which the business and the technology organizations see security as an enabler of them achieving mm-hmm. their programs, and the degree to which the security programs see their job as making the secure way the easy way for the business and for technology providers. When you get the two of those mixed together, the business and technology providers feeling like security is an enabler mm-hmm. and an essential part, and the security team looking at their role as not eliminating risk or not being responsible for risk, but enabling the business to take on their business objectives in a secure way, it very much changes the organization. So to me, that kind of chemistry, that kind of attitude, those approaches are the most important indicators for the success of a business in making security an effective part of how they operate.
And earlier you mentioned you are now in meetings that maybe security is not the focus, but you're at least exposed to it, which is a demonstration of that security is important, right? And we want to have a seat at the table.
Yep. And that's part of the challenge is that we you and I grew up in a world where security grew out of technology. And yet these days we're asking security leaders to be business leaders, to sit alongside the business and to be part of those conversations, to understand what risk means to the business, what are all the risks to the business mm-hmm. and how they help make sure that people are secure and managing while also managing those other risks while managing business success. And so I think that's something that's increasingly important for so many security leaders.
And that's a great segue to my next question. A lot of customers in my conversations with them, and I imagine with you as well, they want to know how to most effectively report risk to the boards, right? To the board of directors. Do you have any tips or guidance on how you do it or how you think about it when reporting cyber risk to the board?
Honestly, I have never seen two companies who do it the same way.
Okay.
Part of that is because it's important to talk about risk within the context of the business. When you're talking to the board, it's incredibly important to understand who your board is, what kinds of leaders they are, where their expertise is. When I'm talking to a board here at AWS, I'm surrounded by board members who are incredibly deep in many aspects of technology. Mm-hmm. And as well as other aspects of business. And so the conversations that I have are very different than when I'm at a board that or and I had a chance to meet many boards throughout my career, but when I'm at a board where I've got experts in a particular type of business, in retail or in something else, those experts bring a different approach, a different knowledge. And one of the most important things, and this goes back to that conversation we just had about a CISO as a business leader, is to understand security within the context of the business.
And reporting it that way.
And reporting it that way in terms of how it affects the business. When I think about security, I tend to think about our role. We do a lot of things as security leaders, but I tend to think about it in, I guess, four major buckets. It's our job with the business to establish the bar of what we think good looks like for our business. Mm-hmm. What is our risk tolerance? What do we want to achieve? It's my job, it's our job as security leaders to be a source of truth and transparency. Here's how we're performing today. And that's where you get to those metric conversations.
So we earn trust with customers, but you need to earn trust with your business.
Need to earn trust with the business.
Partners, yeah.
Which leads me to point three, which is almost more important, is we can't just be that source of transparency. We can't just point at a problem. We as security leaders need to be a solution provider.
Love it.
That provides ways for the business to be effective and efficient at reducing that security risk. And so it's our job to provide those solutions, to think about how we do that. And then the fourth bucket is it's also our job to be a source of accountability, to hold ourselves in security, to be transparent to the board, to hold the business accountable for how we're meeting that bar that we set. And so we've got so many different roles, but the businesses that I think that are most successful in this space, the security leaders, are the ones that don't just stop at the here's the goal to achieve and here's how close we are to it,
right?
But they focus on enabling the business to get there in really, really thoughtful ways.
I love that.
We hope you're enjoying the discussion. To join the conversation and engage with other business leaders, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Connection.
As a CISO, you have to have depth of security expertise, you have to have business expertise, and you bring it all together. But you have large teams underneath you that actually have to deliver security to the business, to our customers, et cetera. So with that lens, what are some of the challenges that you see facing security leaders today? You know, there's hiring challenges, there's talent challenges, all that sort of thing. What, you know, if you had two or three of those, what would you say?
So much of it comes back to talent. The problems that we are solving in security are so multidimensional, as you point out, that having the right people around you is absolutely essential to being successful in security. For me, I love to be surrounded. In fact, for all the top performing companies I've ever been at, we love to be surrounded by people who teach, mm-hmm. inspire, and challenge us.
Love it.
Because this is a field where we're constantly learning. So we need people who are constantly raising that bar. When you get those people, it is so incredibly inspirational. They found ways to solve problems in ways that you'd never imagined before, to make the business more effective, to think about how to make security a natural motion for people. It's incredibly important. And those same people, when you have the right culture, are willing to challenge you. Are you thinking about this the right way? And that challenge helps everybody grow, helps you grow, helps the organization grow, helps you head the right direction. And when I think about that talent piece, those people who teach, inspire, and challenge you, those are the folks that you require different perspectives. Mm-hmm. People who have exactly the same background, who approach problems the same way, they're not the people who are going to teach, challenge, and inspire you. And so I think one of the big challenges we continue to have in the security field is how do we get that breadth of perspectives, that breadth of culture, that breadth of experience, that diversity in approaches and that diversity in mindset, mm-hmm. that helps us really be that incredible organization that we should be. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time, is helping make sure that we have the right people, the right mix, because without that, we can't solve the rest of the problems.
And perhaps from non-traditional backgrounds that, you know, doesn't, oh, that is a security person. Well, that point of view might help us with a certain aspect of security, because our adversaries are certainly diverse.
It's important to recognize AWS is a global company. The adversaries are global. We need to be tapping that global talent. We need to be tapping people from all sorts of different backgrounds and bring it in. Some of the smartest people I know in security have some amazingly diverse backgrounds. They've honed their craft in security for years and years. But how you bring in that right mix of perspectives is really, really important.
Indeed, indeed. A popular question from customers or area of interest that they're in are sort of security predictions. As you look, you know, over the last couple of years and sort of looking forward, what are you most excited about from a security perspective? And this could be a program, a process, a technology, whatever the case may be. And sort of, you know, where are you focusing your efforts based on that?
If I had to give you two areas, because they're so large, one is, as I look at the journey that Zero Trust has been on, from a set of products that were advertised to be Zero Trust solutions, to a set of standards, to really a set of technologies that are baked in. As I look at the way some of the user experience has changed, even over the past few years, the passkeys technologies that even in the recent past, you know, Amazon.com and a bunch of other companies have been introducing, that fundamentally changes the way we think about that seamless user experience, that ability to access technology and do it in a really, really thoughtful way. And
making security that easy path, right?
Making security that easy path. And so I think the advances we've made in that world, moving away from convoluted VPNs, moving to seamless, in-depth analysis of what's going on, is incredibly powerful. The other one, maybe two, is there's just so much buzz around generative AI. You know, the AI field, it's not new.
Sure.
We've been doing these for decades. But the speed of change in the machine learning AI fields over the past year, 2 years, is just incredible. That brings a bunch of really neat capabilities to how I think about doing security. One of the examples I like to give when I'm talking to folks is, in the old world, it may have been time efficient when you're trying to analyze a piece of data to see, hey, is there a security risk here?
Sure.
To go create a large spreadsheet and search through it and work with data the way we used to, hands-on, because the time it took to write code to make that happen was measured in hours, and you could do the hand analysis in an hour or something like that. Now, with things like Code Whisperer and other technologies, that model's flipped. The ability to go describe a well-understood problem, hey, I want to analyze this data to find this stuff, becomes something you can ask a system to do, get an answer back in seconds, implement, test it, and run it in much less time than you would ever do to do a manual spreadsheet. And it's repeatable, it's testable, it's verifiable, you reduce human error. There's a bunch of huge benefits to doing it this way. And so I think that's going to change even the way security operations works, not just here at AWS, but across industry.
Right.
And so I think there's some huge opportunity here. As you can imagine, the other side of that is I'm also spending a ton of time, as we're all learning about what generative AI can do and how to secure it and how to challenge it, we're spending a ton of time and energy making sure that we've got the right foundation set within AWS, that we're building the right capabilities. As we're building generative AI-based solutions, one, we get to go test the heck out of them
at scale,
at scale in an industry-leading way. And we also get to take each of those learnings and turn them into capabilities that we get to offer our customers, because the same problems we have are the problems they have when they use generative AI. And so there's this incredible fast learning cycle where we are learning new things every day. And that's fun. it's challenging because the attackers are learning new things every day too.
Indeed they are.
And we need to keep on getting this really, really tight cycle to move fast in this space. But that's also why I like being here at AWS. We don't move slow.
Nope.
We don't move slow at all. And so I think that that superpower of AWS fits right into where we need to go in this field.
That's a great answer. And you know, customers traditionally come to us for their technology needs, right? Whether it's security or solving business problems. One thing that may not be as obvious to customers is, you know, clearly we're a technology company. We offer software and services to them. Is we also spend a lot of time trying to help them build their security programs and be more effective. One of the most popular programs we have is the AWS CISO Circles, as you well know.
Yep.
Would you talk a little bit about them, how they're sort of organized and what customers can benefit from them?
Those conversations we talked about earlier about the security community being small, about learning from each other, is so important. One of the things that I appreciate the most about the security world is our adversaries are not each other. Our adversaries are the bad guys outside mm-hmm. that are attacking our customers. We need our customers to feel safe using technology. And so CISO circles are a great way that we help bring that to life. You know, Chatham House rules. We don't attribute conversation to anybody. That allows people to have real conversations. The ability for us to learn from each other, to challenge each other, to ask questions. Hey, how are you solving this problem? Hey, I'm starting to see attackers do this. Are you seeing that problem as well? Innovate, think, learn from the very best. That's the environment that I think we get into in the CISO circles. And so pulling people from, you know, that have commonalities, regions of the world, mm-hmm. commonalities in terms of business and technology, similar sets of problems, getting them together with some of the smartest people I know within AWS and outside AWS to have those conversations is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And so that's what I think we really are able to take advantage of with CISO circles. And frankly, I've enjoyed the ones I've joined, and I'm looking forward to doing a lot more over the next year.
For sure. When I was a customer, I remember I learned a lot more from CISOs in other industries. You know, surprisingly enough, you know, in insurance, you have a certain risk tolerance and you're doing certain things. And I learned so much from media and retail and banking. It was fantastic.
I've seen exactly the same yeah. thing. And that's why I enjoy that mix of getting people together to have those conversations.
Chris, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, be sure to learn more about AWS Exec Leaders, an invite-only global community for business and technology leaders.